Careful.
You may be seated. Well, if you notice the title of the message, if any of you are perfect, you're excused now. You can go. Sam, stay put. Because I want you to know I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to all of us who have sinned and come short of God's glory. And that's all of us. We were created for wonderful, wonderful works of love. And we haven't always followed through on that. And God comes along as a gentle, loving Abba Father. Jesus said, Abba, Abba Father. You know what that word means, Abba? Daddy. He's a daddy father. That's what God is to us. And he comes along in gentle, loving, kind, wonderful ways and tells us we've fallen short. But we can pick ourselves up in the power of his love and go on and keep that Christ-like presence growing in our lives. Well, I'm thinking of today, preachers are going to be thinking of their new churches and saying goodbye to their old churches. It reminds me of a story, and you know I don't like to tell stories. But it reminds me of a story of a church that never had the same preacher more than one Sunday in a row. And a preacher who never stayed at the same church longer than one Sunday in a row. And the district superintendents in all of their wisdom, and the bishop in all of his or her wisdom, said, you know, this is a simple problem. We just get those two together. And so they did. They appointed this preacher to preach at this church and told the church they better accept this preacher. And he stood up, knees trembling, scared to death, looked out at the congregation and didn't see a lot of smiles, didn't hear a lot of amens. You know, saying amen to a preacher is like saying sigum to a dog. Just goes on and on and on. That's the way it is. And he preached his sermon. And the chairman of the Staff Parish Relations Committee got the committee together and they huddled, and he came up to him and said, say, would you mind coming back next week? Ooh, that means I've got to get a new sermon. I only had one. So he came back the next week, preached the sermon as best as he could. And after the sermon, they met and they came up and said, would you mind coming back next Sunday? And that went on another Sunday, and another Sunday, and another Sunday. And he was starting to think, well, maybe I'm better than I thought I was. And so he called the chairman of the Staff Parish Relations Committee over and said, he was looking for a compliment. You know, we all do that. And he said, you never had a preacher more than one Sunday, and now I've been back 7, 8 times. Tell me why. And the wise chairman of the Staff Parish Relations Committee said, well, I'll tell you. Folks here don't like preachers. And you're as near to no preacher as we've ever had. Well, there's a lot of new preachers going to go to their churches. And this church is going to get two of them. Isn't that something? Wow. Poor Tony had to do it all by himself. Now you're going to have two. You're going to have a senior pastor and an associate pastor. And let me give you some advice when it comes to that. Can I? Because I've been through it. I retired after 41 years in the pastorate. Had a number of associates, some of them right here in this church. Associates want to preach as much as they can. Senior pastors want to preach as much as they can. So there's a conflict kind of set up in the dynamic of that. They think sometimes the associates that they can preach better than the senior pastor. And you know what? They can sometimes. And so there's a seed planted to triangulate. Now, any of you who've had three children know what triangulation is. That's where two of them are always against one. Now, it's not always the same two against the same one, but that's triangulation, where they play the parents back and forth, back and forth. And that sometimes happens in churches. Would you believe that? No. It happens. So don't, when the new staff comes, when the pastor and associate pastor come, your job isn't to say, well, I like this one better than that one. That's not your job. The fact is, the bishop appointed them, and it doesn't make any difference if you like them or not. Really doesn't in our system. Any of you belong to something called the Methodist Episcopal Church? Remember that back before 1939? Methodist Episcopal Church South, Methodist Episcopal Church North. What that means is there's a bishop in charge, episkopos. It's the Greek word for bishop. And the bishop appoints the pastor. And it's almost as sacred as God himself appointing that person to the church. So it's not our job to say we like this one, we don't like that one, we think this one's better than... No, you know what our job is? Our job is to pray for who? You remember the old spiritual says, not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so when a conflict arises, when a still small voice says in the back of your mind, well, I like this one better than that one. Hey, you're the one that needs the prayer. Because I think every minister has something to say to us. We grow from every minister that comes our way. So we need to remember that. And we need to pray for them, but also pray for ourselves. That we be open and growing. And I think that's what God wants us to do. We need to say, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be. I'm a long ways from it sometimes, but you know my weakness and my strengths. Just use me where you can. When these new pastors get here, just say to them, hey, we're going to love you. And we're going to do what God wants us to do, and that's help out. Well, anyway, that's the story. And that's what we're going to do. I don't know either one of the new preachers coming. And thank God they don't know me. So we all have a chance to be new. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. Well, I wanted to talk to you about that and maybe smooth the way for the new team that's coming this way. They're not going to sound the same. They're not going to act the same. They're not going to do things the same. That's okay. Who says they have to? Nobody. But God's going to use them. I know He is, because this is His church. And God has great plans for this church. And that church is to love the community. Our scripture lesson said, come unto me, all. Whoever the all is all. God wants us to love His followers, His children. Well, I wanted to talk to you about that. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about John Wesley. John Wesley was a strange guy. He was a preacher's kid, and that made him strange. His mother, Susanna Wesley, had around 19 children, 10 of whom lived to maturity. John was one of them. Charles, we sing a lot of his hymns. They're in our hymn book, great hymns. And John was a strange guy, like most preachers' kids are. He went to Georgia to be a missionary. And when he got there, he found out that he was the one that needed conversion. And there were others on the team of Christians in the area that pointed out to him in a loving, kind, wonderful way that he didn't have everything he spoke about. And so John opened his heart and his life to God, and he became converted. He said, one night I went to a prayer meeting and I heard somebody reading Luther's preface to the book of Romans, and I felt my heart strangely warmed. That's the beauty of the Methodist Church, I think, is this heart-warming experience. We can feel our heart strangely warmed by God's love. We can feel God's presence in our life. We can feel God's love flowing in and through us. And we can say with John Wesley, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that I did believe. I believed for the first time that God loved me. That's what he said. That's overwhelming. So that's the kind of church we are. We're a church that is called to love God and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's not always easy, but we try to do it because Christ calls us to do it. While John was in Georgia, I'm going to give you a little history. Do you want to hear some history about John Wesley? John Wesley fell in love with a lady by the name of Sophie Hopke. Sophie was a Georgia peach. And John fell in love. And I don't know if he ever proposed marriage to her, but she thought he did. And that's all that really counts, I guess, because he got cold feet and tried to back out of it, and she wouldn't let him, and she got a sheriff after him. Yeah, breach of promise. And John escaped from Georgia to South Carolina and got on a ship to sail back to England, never to come back to Georgia again. He was outside of the sheriff's jurisdiction. Sophie Hopke. And then there was Grace Murray. Grace was another love in John's life. Didn't go anywhere. In fact, she jilted him. She jilted him for one of his preachers in the Methodist movement. Probably the smartest decision she ever made. I say that because John expected 100% loyalty from his preachers. Now talk to my wife about the times I put the church ahead of her. Far too many times. That's why I like being retired. I can put her first. Yep. Well, anyway, that's what Grace Murray did. She ran off with one of John's Methodist preachers. Imagine that. Whew. And then there was Mary Vizell. They called her Molly. John married her. Was not a happy situation. They were married for about 15 years off and on. I say off and on, they didn't divorce, but they were together off and on about 15 years. And she was a hard lady to live with. She was a rich widow. And the only way that I know of for preachers to become rich is to marry somebody that's rich. And that's what John did. But she got rid of him. They divorced. They separated. And so John didn't have good success in his relationships with the ladies of the church. Mary said, Molly said that he was never there. Never there. Listen, it is said that John rode horseback to the churches of England. Now, England's not a big, big, big country like the United States. But John rode horseback thousands of miles to his churches. And the pattern set in the United States. Francis Asbury was said to have ridden horseback to the churches enough miles to circle the globe 10 times. Now, that's a lot of horses. Someone doing that much horseback riding and tending to the needs of others really can't expect to have a very good home life. You're not home enough to do it. And yet John expected that of his ministers. The Methodist Church has been a church that always wanted to seek those who were less fortunate, as you might say. Always wanted to seek out those who were downtrodden. In John Wesley's day, there was the upper class, royalty, and the poor downtrodden folks. And the organized church didn't care that much for the downtrodden folks, but John did. And so he preached to them. And after a while, the churches shut their doors to John's preaching. They said, "You don't preach to the people we like." John said, "That's all right." So he preached out in the open air. He preached on street corners. He preached wherever anyone would listen to him. He set a good example for us. It's an example that's not always understood, nor is it always easy to follow. But love those who love God. Love those who don't love God. Love those who are in need. And that's all of us, isn't it? So I say, if you're perfect, you don't need what I'm talking about. But if you're not perfect, if you need God's forgiveness, if you need God's love, if you need what it is God can give you, that only God can give you, you'll find that in the Methodist Church. It's for all people. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's good news. Because we all fit. We all belong. Well, it's about time to say everything I know to say.